Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you as always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Oh, I'm glad that you're here. Debbie and I are just so excited about this privilege of sharing our heart with you and doing what God has called us to do and preaching and singing. And all you, listen, friend, you've helped make our day to be a part of this little radio ministry, to be a part of this time that we have the privilege of spending together as we think about God and His grace, His mercy, His love, and His plan of salvation to each of you. Hey, may I say to you, Happy Easter. What a grand day this is. Bless God. The great news that came to mankind, came out of a graveyard. Isn't that amazing? Hey, the tomb is empty. Thank God. But it's full. That's what I'm going to be talking about today. I've opened my Bible to the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'll be reading about the first 7 verses there. And I'm going to talk to you about a message I pray will be a blessing to you. And I'll give you the text for it right now. I'm going to talk about the fullness of emptiness. We're going to talk about 3 things that were empty, and yet, bless God, they were full. Full of a message, full of hope, full of promise, and full of good things by the hand of God and by the grace of God for sinners like me and you. Right? Before I do that, Deb's got a song she's going to do. A title of it is, and I like this, He Got Up. Thank God. He was dead. Did you hear? He didn't stay dead. Thank God. What a wonderful message this is. You enjoy. I'll be back in just a moment.
He got up on the 3rd day. Keep him in the grave, Satan thought he had defeated, but that was Friday evening. Then Sunday came and he got up. The crowd had gathered round him to watch him bleed and die. Some could not understand why Jesus was crucified. But what they had forgotten, this was God's own Son. Death could not hold Him down, the victory had been won. He got up on the 3rd day, when the stone was rolled away. Death could not keep Him down, He couldn't keep Him in the grave. Couldn't keep him in the grave. Satan thought he had defeated. But that was Friday evening. Then Sunday came and he got up. He has risen. He has risen. Death could not hold him down.
Well, thank God. Isn't that good news? Thank you, thank you, thank you, Debbie, for that song and what a great message that it is. Listen, friend, He died. Jesus died at Calvary. But the good news is, hallelujah, He did not stay dead. Well, if you'd like any of Debbie's projects, if you like that song, this program, all you got to do is write and let us know. You can visit our website. Our son will give you that address here in just a little bit. You can be able to download anything that we've got there. Freely have received, freely give is exactly what the Word of God teaches me. In the book of Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 1, the Word of God says this. And what a profound statement the beginning of this verse is. In the end of the Sabbath, the Sabbath was already gone. Bless God, there was a change of dispensation. There was a change of relating to God and with God. He said in the beginning of the Sabbath that as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, that's the Lord's Day, by the way, that's Sunday, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Hey, by the way, he didn't move the stone to let Jesus out. Bless God, the stone was moved to let me and you in. This angel's countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake. That is, those big husky Roman guards, by the way, that the Sanhedrin had asked Pilate to put there. And they watched them. They watched that tomb, the place where Jesus had been buried. It said, and for fear of him, of the angels, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. Past tense, isn't that something? I'm going to talk to you a little while today about the fullness of emptiness. I'm going to talk to you about a cross that had been occupied at this time, at this moment in the history of time, was now empty. I'm going to talk to you about a tomb, friend, that was empty. It contained a body, but now the body was gone. I'm going to talk to you about grave clothes that had been wrapped around that lifeless body of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now that it was resurrection day, they were empty too. I'm going to talk to you about how things that are empty on that day, on that period of time, for those three days in the history of Jesus Christ, His life on planet Earth, bless God, just how full they are with good news for sinners like you and I. Oh, what 3 days, what infamous 3 days those 3 days were, from Friday through Sunday. And it's okay if you don't agree with me that Jesus was crucified on Friday. We don't have to account for 72 complete hours. The Jews always counted any part of a day as a day, and if you do your study, you'll find that to be true. But look, we're talking about an empty cross. You say, why, preacher? Why was it empty? Well, 3 days ago, it had been occupied. It had been occupied by a man. But that man, thank God, was more than a man. Yeah, he was the Son of Man. But hallelujah, he was the Son of God. It was occupied by Jesus for 6 hours. This Son of God was suspended between the heaven and the earth. And according to the Word of God, as the Lamb of God, he offered himself up to God as a sacrifice for the sins of mankind. There at that place called Calvary, he became the sinner's substitute. There at Calvary, thank God, he became the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. There at Calvary, he that knew no sin became as sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But on this morning, on this first morning of the week, of a new day, of a new dawn, of a new beginning, how that cross was not occupied, it was empty. You see, the cross in that day spoke a message much different than does the cross in our day. Why, in the cross in our day, people wear crosses to adorn things or put crosses on things to adorn them. Why, they even dot our countryside. As you're traveling, you can see where a millionaire expended much of his riches to put in the mind and before the eyes of men and women a reminder that Jesus Christ of Nazareth died at a place of Calvary for sinners like you and I. Oh, look, that cross in that day of which Jesus was identified with, it was a place, bless God, where we find that man by the name of Jesus, as I've already said, die as a sinner's substitute. He didn't die for some sin that he had committed, but he died died, hallelujah, for all the sins that you and I have committed. He didn't die for some sinners, but He died for all sinners. He died for me and you, and He died for everyone else. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth would not perish, but have everlasting life. I can't help but think that on that morning, when the women were coming to the tomb, that they had to pass by Calvary. And I've been there. I've had the privilege of being there at the place of the skull, that little area where was a garden near Calvary. And I wonder if they didn't see in the darkness of that dawn up against that morning sky, if they didn't still see the silhouettes of those crosses that had held just 3 days before three bodies, three men who had died. Oh, listen, friend. They no doubt, if they saw that, were quickly reminded of the horrors of that day, of that hour. They were reminded of the pain, bless God, and the shame that that man endured for them. That gruesome and grotesque a sight and scene of that thorn-crowned brow and those nail-pierced hands and feet. Oh, the blood that stained that cross, the blood that stained that cross from the man who bore it, after he had been beaten, after he had been betrayed, after he had been bruised and bloodied. A man, oh yeah, he was a man, as I have said, but more than a man. Now, he didn't look like one. That man in the middle of on the middle cross of those three at Calvary didn't look like a man. But that morning, as these women were going to anoint a dead body, they thought they saw all the empty crosses, and oh, thank God, they were empty, but I want you to know they were full. That one cross in the middle, it held the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And I'll tell you, in light of the fact that He died that morning, though it was empty of a man, thank God it was full of pardon for all, for any and all, sir, ma'am, for me and you. It was full of peace that God said He would give, that peace that come from God. That peace that you can have with God. That peace that the Apostle Paul said passes understanding. It was full of a promise. You say, what promise, preacher? How that whosoever would could be saved, just like I just saved. It was a promise to sinners. All sinners can be forgiven of all sin that they have committed. It was a promise that the penalty of their sin had been paid in full. Thank God, did you not know that Jesus, when He died at Calvary, didn't make a down payment, but He cried, "Tetelestai," which means paid in full, which means it is finished. Oh, the cross was bare that day. It was empty, but it was full of the plan of salvation. It cried, "It's completed. It's done." God's holiness is satisfied. His justice is satisfied. Oh, it's a place for fallen and sinful man. I can meet a holy and a righteous God. I want you to know, friend, listen, that cross was empty, but oh, it was full. And I believe the story of an empty cross will occupy much of the time and the conversation of those who occupy even heaven or hell. Well, let's move on. When they got to the tomb, you know what they found? They found that it was empty. It was a rich man's tomb, a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea. He had cut it out of the limestone rock, but it had been occupied 3 days before by a man by the name of Jesus of Nazareth. If you don't ask me, ask Joseph of Arimathea, ask Nicodemus, ask these women who came to anoint the dead body. They had watched him be bound by the burial cloths. They had watched as Joseph and Nicodemus, probably no doubt nervously and yet quickly as they could, with great love in their heart, prepared to put that lifeless body in a tomb. Oh, listen, I believe Joseph and Nicodemus had in some degrees hazarded their life in burying Jesus, but oh, they were willing to be identified with this man who said He was the Son of God. Hey, let me ask you something. I beg of you, don't believe in the theory you said that man has tried to explain how this tomb was empty. Hey, can I tell you, friend, what you ought to do? You ought to just believe what the Word of God says. Believe me when I tell you that the reason they buried Jesus was that He was dead. You say, how do you know, preacher? Well, the soldiers knew it. Those soldiers that were acquainted with death at Calvary, at crucifixion, they knew what dead men looked like. And all you remember that the soldiers, instead of breaking Jesus' legs so that He would die, because the Scripture said not a bone of Him would be broken, they took a sword, one of them did, pierced His side, and forthwith the Word of God said came blood and water. The soldiers knew that they had died. The Romans knew that they had died. And when Pilate had been approached by Nicodemus for the body of Jesus, listen, when he was made sure that Jesus had died, he marveled that He had died so quickly. And I want you to know the Jews knew it too. Hey, listen, the simple but profound truth for the reason that they buried Jesus was that He had died. He died bearing our sins in His body on that tree. He that knew no sin became as sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And oh, I want you to know that tomb that day was empty. It had been occupied. It had been borrowed. But on this first day of the week after crucifixion, 3 days after crucifixion and burial, bless God, it was empty that day. Oh, I want you to know, listen, friend, there's a lot of things to think about. The women probably no doubt wondered as they were on their way to do a task that they volunteered for. Maybe they wondered who would roll away the stone. I wonder what they thought when they felt the earthquake and the earth move under their feet as they were traveling from the place they had occupied in fear to a place that Jesus' body, they thought, was still entombed. Who would roll away the stone from the entrance? But ah, hallelujah, when they got there, they got an angelic greeting. They got, listen, something that was gladly announced. And actually, it was the greatest news ever heard by man. Behold, why seek ye the... I'm about to shout now. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Behold, the place where He is lay. He is risen. He's not here. And when they got there, they found the tomb was empty of Jesus Christ. But may I say it was full. It was full of the assurance of a testimony that Jesus was the Son of God. It was full of hope that said Jesus is alive. It was full of promise, bless God, that says that same Jesus same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will one day raise us up who have trusted in Him from the dead. It was full of eternal life, bless God, to any and all who will believe. Empty, the tomb was empty. Hallelujah. Don't you believe the women? Hey, ask Peter and John. They'll tell you it was empty. But thank God it was full. It was full of things that sinners like me and you need. Sinners like you and I, sir, ma'am, have that need to be saved by the grace of God. Again, it was full of pardon. It was full of assurance. It was full of promise. It was full of hope. And I want you to know, it doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you've done. Thank God. If you'll come to Jesus today by faith, He'll save you. And I like this last one. And when the women got there, boy, when Mary looked in, you know what they found? They found an empty tomb and empty grave clothes. Oh, think about that. Think about that. Listen, they had just recently entombed Jesus. Just 3 days before this, as I've already said, Joseph of Arimathea, who was, by the way, a He was a rich man. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and it's possible that Joseph was too. They went together to beg the body of Jesus from the presence of Pilate, that Roman procurator, and he gave them leave to take the body. I said, take the body of Jesus down. And they did that, and they prepared him for burial. Oh, just 3 days before this morning, they had recently encased the dead body. I said, the dead body of Jesus of Nazareth in grave clothes. They had brought spices. They had brought 100 pounds of spices. And although, friend, they did it lovingly, they had to prepare his body, his lifeless body, for burial very quickly. Now look, though they performed their task quickly, and the body had been wrapped and perfumed in a tomb. Thank God, listen, they had wrapped his face with a napkin. They had placed it around his head. They rolled a stone before the door, even had Rome, thank God, to put a seal upon it. Even Pilate had the insight and the wisdom to say, make it a sure as you can. I wonder what Pilate knew that they didn't. I wonder what kind of insight Pilate may have had when he said that. But listen, on that morning, on that first day of the week before the rising of the sun, on that day of new beginnings, on that day when the age of the law had come to its end, bless God, after the Sabbath had passed, when they came to the tomb on the day of the first fruits and the beginning of unleavened bread, Peter and John and others saw the tomb empty and saw the grave clothes empty. They saw them lying in the tomb undisturbed. In fact, although they were empty, although they looked like, bless God, that they had been relieved of their occupant without any disturbance, they were full. Hallelujah. They were full. I believe they looked like the shape of Jesus' body. The only thing that didn't was the napkin that had been folded and laying in a place by itself. Now look, there's a lot of things I could say right here. There's a lot of things I want to say, but I want to focus on the one thing that the napkin promised. Listen, friend, when Jesus resurrected, when Jesus came out from among the dead, when Jesus got up on that resurrection day, it's like caterpillar, and it's a poor illustration, but it'll fit. Slipped out of its cocoon. I believe, listen, that body, that Jesus, that those grave clothes that held the body of Jesus had a form to it, and I believe it still did that morning. But listen, that napkin, Peter and John came running in. Oh, Peter, when John was on the outside after he had outrun Peter to get there, went right on in, and John followed, and they saw the napkin, and the Bible says in John 20, they believe. You say, what's significant about the napkin, preacher? Well, I'll tell you, friend, have they gone in there, listen, and seen something different? Oh, they would have not left believing. You know that in every Jewish household that had a slave or a servant, a handmaid or a hand servant, somebody that worked for somebody up at a higher class, if they were eating dinner and the servant was out of the room, when the head of the house would get up from the table and be absent, and the servant come back in, you know what he'd do? He'd look at the napkin. If that napkin, bless God, was folded and laying at the place where the master of the table and the house ate, he wouldn't do anything. But if he came through and saw it wadded up, just kind of wadded up and throwed on the plate or somewhere near where the master sat, bless God, he'd begin to clean up and pick up and straighten up. And you say, why, preacher? Well, what is the difference significance of that? What's the purpose of that napkin? Well, bless God, it's got a promise to it. Thank God, listen, it's got an undeniable witness, bless God, not only to the resurrection, but the fact that Jesus is saying to me and you, sir, ma'am, I've been here one time, but I'm coming back again. Thank God, I know I cried at Calvary, tetelestai, which means it is finished. Bless God, all that Jesus needed to do in bringing salvation to sinners like me and you. All that the law required, all that God's holiness demanded and justification expected, Jesus performed. But thank God, listen, hallelujah, when John and Peter saw that napkin folded and put in a place by itself, they believed. It was a message that said to them, I'll be back. Hallelujah. I'll be back. Listen, friend, there is a fullness of emptiness. The cross was empty. The tomb was empty. The grave clothes were empty. But I want you to know they all speak of a message of salvation. Are you saved, sir, ma'am? Do you have resurrection life in your body? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you yet repented of your sin and received Christ by faith? If you haven't, call on Him now. He'll give you life. He'll give it to you abundantly. He'll give it to you eternally. Hey, He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Then if you'll run to Him now, call on Him and come before Him, the Bible says He will in no wise cast you out. Hey, there is a fullness of emptiness, and you can experience it today.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 1-0004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 1-0004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at InspirationalTruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at InspirationalTruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.